In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. That's funny. We as human beings, as people, go to extraordinary lengths to hide our weaknesses, almost universally. We hide them from others, and even sometimes from ourselves. We have these insecurities and fears that make us try to appear as self-reliant and strong as we can, even when it's not even remotely true. And maybe we can fool others. Maybe we can even fool ourselves once in a while. But truly, we all have many weaknesses. And it's good and important to acknowledge this. St. Paul declares, "I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In other words, if he fills himself up with all of these masks and boasting himself, there's not room for Christ there. And the Lord showed his power perfect in weakness again in his healing of the man who was born blind. The disciples asked when this man was brought to them, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus replied, "It's not that the man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him." And so Jesus spit, made clay, anointed the man with it, and told him to go wash, and he received his sight. In this man's weakness, through his blindness, God worked and showed his power to make us whole. And perhaps the most obvious and glaring example of human weakness is death. There's nothing we can do to escape it. No amount of exercise or healthy eating or money spent will stop it from coming. We might delay it a bit, but at some point, it will come. And the reason for this is that death is the consequence of our common alienation from God as a result of sin. And so it's good to consider our death so that we remember that God is the source of our life and we draw near to him. Not that it comes from us or anything that we do, but we rely on God. Now consider how difficult the death of her son must have been for this widow from Nain that we heard in today's gospel. She was a widow, meaning her husband had died, and now so has her only son. She's alone. St. Gregory of Nyssa reminds us that her son was just at the age of marriage, where he could then take care of her and her old age along with his children. This was her retirement plan. This was her social security, was her son. Now she has no one to care for her. So the widow was not only weak in her grief over her son, but also her own security. And then Jesus comes and unexpectedly has compassion upon her. Now, Jesus is recorded as raising three people from the dead prior to his own crucifixion and resurrection. We have Lazarus, we have the daughter of Jairus, and this widow's son. And in each case, Jesus shows a considerable amount of compassion towards these people and their families. In Lazarus' case, Jesus himself, the friend of Lazarus, weeps along with his sisters. And in Jairus' case, he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, "My daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and live." And though she died before he arrived there, Jesus went and had compassion on them and raised her up. And in this case of the widow's son, Jesus comes to the funeral procession uninvited. He sees it passing by, and he invites himself and has compassion on her. In the depth of our weakest moments, Christ's compassion for us is there. When we admit to ourselves our own brokenness, we open ourselves for him to work on us. And the church helps us to acknowledge our weaknesses and open ourselves to Christ's compassion for us through the spiritual disciplines of prayer, confession, and fasting. When we pray the words of the Jesus Prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner," we open our hearts to him. We confess our own brokenness and the need for healing that only he, as our Lord, can give. By embracing the challenges of this daily struggle to pray, we grow in humility, in admitting to ourselves our own brokenness. It's simply not possible for us to recognize our own spiritual weakness and receive the strength of our Lord without a regular habit of coming to Christ in prayer. That's okay, James, you can leave it. Speaking of compassion. And when we come to confession, we admit our brokenness to God so that he can heal us through the priest. And at least once during each of the four penitential seasons of the church year, we're encouraged to do this, as well as any time we have a sin that weighs on our conscience. That we should come to the church and name our sins in front of the icon of Christ or the gospel, and kneel as we are assured of his forgiveness through the prayers of an unworthy priest who himself needs confession. Taking confession regularly and with purposeful thought fuels our humility also by keeping our spiritual vision focused on our constant need for God's mercy, not on ourselves. And all of us, as spiritual weaklings, all of us, need this sacrament for the healing of our souls, especially when we don't think we do. And we also have the spiritual practice of fasting encouraged by our church during the appointed fasting seasons, as well as most Wednesdays and Fridays. The church calls us to fast from the most satisfying, the most tasty, the richest foods in remembrance of our Lord's betrayal and crucifixion. And it's difficult, isn't it? Certainly if we're not used to it. And our difficulty from fasting reveals our lack of self-mastery, including our resistance to denying ourselves, even in these very small ways, that I don't even have control over myself. I'm not even my own master. Something else has mastered me. And it also reminds us that we find our true strength, true life, and true fulfillment in Christ, not in not satisfying our bodily pleasures, our appetites. And by eating a simple and inexpensive diet on these fasting days, we have a little more change in our pockets. So that when we encounter the poor and the needy in our daily life, we're able to share more with them than had we spent that on that extra steak or who knows what. When we have a healthy spiritual life of prayer and confession with fasting, as well as receiving the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, we realize that our own efforts, our own attempts to satisfy our desires, are unable to bring us that life that we so badly desire. And we do desire it. We do. Sometimes even when we think we don't. We desire that life in Christ. And this life in Christ, where there is neither sickness nor sorrow nor sighing, but life everlasting, this is that life that he offers to us. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, a second century disciple of the Apostle John, explained that the raising of the widow's son demonstrates for us the coming resurrection at the last day. Now they both the Lord and this son, rose in the same body in which they died. If Christ is able to extend life to his handiwork, this shows that his words concerning its future resurrection may also be believed. That same Savior that raised the son of the widow of Nain also wants to have compassion on us and to raise us up. And the more we offer ourselves to him in honesty regarding our own weaknesses, the more his healing strength can work in our lives. Let us pray, confess, and fast as we unite ourselves to Christ for the healing of our weak souls, that we too may be found worthy of Christ's compassion and resurrection unto life eternal. Amen.